Well, I hope I have your interest piqued. I have my own piqued. Trying to figure out how to tell you what I feel the Lord has placed upon my heart to bring across to you tonight. I would appreciate your prayers. And my prayer is that it'll make sense. That you can see and visualize simply the things that God has commanded us. And the reasons why they're important. I'm going to begin tonight by reading a text from Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to use the book of Ephesians quite often tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 19. And I'm going to give you time to get there. Here, Paul, he's writing to these Ephesians. We know that this was a congregation, a local church. In Christ's church, at that time that Paul was writing to them. He tells them here in chapter 2, in the first part of it, how that Christ died to save their souls by His grace. Through faith, they could be saved. Even though they weren't part of the root and stock of Israel, these were Gentiles, they were not Jews. And we find that there was a time when they were strangers and foreigners. They were people of the world. And we find in verse 19, he says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You know, he described there what we are. Or should be, fellow citizens. No more strangers, not foreigners, not people that we don't know, not people that aren't a part, but people that have come and become part of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I find in this verse 21 that it's in Christ, that chief cornerstone. If we're built on that foundation, that is the one who has made this building fitly framed together. Fitly means to render close, jointed together, to organize. Christ is organized. He's put together closely. He's fit people from all different walks of life. They've come into His kingdom, and He makes a place for them. They become one of His sons, His daughters. They become members of His kingdom. No more strangers. Someone that we know. Framed to complete thoroughly. You know, when Christ put this building up, the spiritual building, He finished it. Complete. He didn't leave anything out in order for it to be maintained and cared for. We find at times it requires repair and adjustment. That's what it requires, this word frame. To make perfect. Perfectly join. When Christ put together this building that He made, that He called this body, this household, He did it, being built on the chief cornerstone, and He fitly framed it together. And when He did this, it says, "It groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." This growing, it means upward. It means to arise, to ascend. He didn't want a building that was going to remain in the dumps of the earth. He wanted a building. He wanted to growth that would go upward. They would rise. And He says He was going to make this building that was fitly framed together. He says it groweth when it's built on that rock into a holy temple. This word holy is to make holy. Not something that already was. It's to make holy. To purify or consecrate. This is talking about individuals. This word temple here, it's not talking about a temple like we think of a temple. It's talking about something that was foreign and not a Jew. It was a stranger. He was telling the Gentiles that you, when God has put you in this building in His kingdom, that you can be fitly framed together, and that you, a stranger, a foreigner, someone who wasn't born in God's kingdom, but had to make choices, had to change, had to come out, somebody that was separate, He says, you can be cleansed. You can be purified, consecrated. A holy temple unto Him, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Yes, we find that we are built together. We're builded together. This word builded here means to prepare thoroughly, properly, by external equipment. God's the one that did the building. We didn't do it ourselves. God did the building, and He put it together. And He had it to be for a place, a habitation of God through the Spirit, a place that His Spirit might reside within this building that was framed by God. There is a... My printer didn't put out quite like I had hoped. I'm going to be a little rover tonight. That won't do. That's kind of rough, but there we go. What is that?
Barn.
Is it usable? I wish I had the whole picture, you know. And in this picture that my printer decided not to do for me, all that was painted nicely red and nice, looked like steel, corrugated steel roof. This building, it was useful. I want you to consider this because it's going to make a point for me here in a few minutes. I want to show you another building. Someone probably want to kill this light right here, these two, so you can see it a little better. Everybody see that building? Does it look strong? Absolutely. A fortress. Bear these things in mind. In fact, I'm going to leave that right there for you. Bear those things in mind. God built something to withstand and endure. God's the only one that could build something like that. We men have tried. Never works out quite like we intended. We find that with every building, there's external forces that are arrayed against it. Everything that God does, Satan goes after it. This is a truth. Just like it is in nature, everything that God has done and made is subject to be attacked. I would like to read in Matthew chapter 7. As we read about Christ describing this very thing and the need that we have. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Well, we know that we read that rock that we must be built, if we are God's building, must be the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. These sayings of His. Whoever builds upon or hears His sayings and does them, He likens him unto a wise man which builded his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. As I look about me in life, most of us have just heard of a mighty storm. Houses built on mud, dirt. They didn't withstand, did they? It's very important that we consider what Christ has said here. Because as goes this saying, in a spiritual sense, it must be applied in a spiritual sense to us. In order to keep this building standing through the storms of life, we have to hear and we have to obey His Word. And if you don't obey His Word, this building that God has builded will not stand. We know that the church is the people that make it up. Phoenix Local Church isn't a building on 2929 East Siesta Lane. It's the inhabitants that inhabit that building on Sunday and Wednesday at that address. That's the church. That's the Phoenix Local. There are no guarantees except when we have obedience to God's Word that this building will continue to stand. I'd like to read on page 557 in our Book of Mormon, a wonderful promise, something that I hope gives you encouragement and strength. Another such statement about this adversary of ours. He says in verse 74 in Helaman chapter 2, "And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storms shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall." This same rock, this same cornerstone must be built upon. It can, and it has, endured all the storms. Everything that Satan has thrown against it, if it's been grounded and founded in Christ, the rock, it has always stood. That brings us to a point that God obviously put inside this building that which allows it to stand. He put in it things that are needful. He put in it commandments for us. I would like to go back to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting in verse 1. Tonight I'm going to read this whole chapter, not all of it here, but this chapter is really the crux of what I wanted to bring forth. This edification was given to the church in Ephesus. Something that we need to hear today. We have a responsibility to the same things. In order to keep this building standing on the rock, it's because we'll do the same things. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Walk worthy. He says to tread all around it. Walk. This is the word walk. To live. To follow. To be occupied with. Walk. Worthy. Appropriately. As becometh. After a godly sort. Walk worthily. Of the vocation. That's the calling to which Christ has called you to be part of His kingdom, wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, brothers and sisters, oftentimes we see things that are brand new and we think they stay that way. The picture's in our mind. Well, we'll go back a year later. What in the matter's wrong with this thing? It's brand new. When God built this body in Phoenix, Arizona, and He's still adding to it such as He would add, when He built it, He built it with all the things in place to take care of it. This picture of the barn. You look at that barn. If you had seen the original picture, you know that there were some imperfections maybe on the outside, but it was very usable. It was sturdy. You could see it in that picture. But what happens through time? Through time, things began to. People change, don't we? We change. I've heard people say, so-and-so is totally different than they were 5 years ago. We can take that from a good sense. Some of us see very good changes. Sometimes we don't see it from as good a sense. In order for us to maintain this building, we must have lowliness. If we're lifted up in pride, we read about it all through the Book of Mormon, it'll never work. The building, the church, it'll suffer. It'll suffer loss, and so will everybody who's built it in it. In meekness, with long suffering. This is something that we all stand in need of. Long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. If there's one thing that this building that we're supposed to be builded on and grounded on, this foundation of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that this verse says it all. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments: to love the Lord and to love your neighbor. If you aren't builded in love, if the people in this local aren't builded in love, if you forgot how to forbear, when you see something you don't like, years down the road, this building will fall. Because that is the only foundation upon which we can build. We have a greater need of this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, we have so many commonalities being part of this body. We have and we are one body. We are one building which God has built. We have access to one Spirit. That same one by which we're called. We have one hope, the salvation of our souls. I hope that's our hope. We have one Lord and one faith, one baptism. But I find in verse 7, he says something about our individuality. That every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, the man that wrote this, Paul, he was an enemy of the Christians. He testified and witnessed against them at their deaths. Paul needed a lot of grace to cover his sins. We know people who are, well, we'd say salt of the earth. Oh, they make mistakes, but when you see them, you know, they seem pretty small to you when you look at your own life. But you know, God's grace is big enough for everyone in the building. You know, it's big enough to cover your sins when you approach Him in repentance. You know, it's big enough to cover the sins of somebody else you see out there as part of our body. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Yes, before Christ died, or before Christ ascended into heaven, he first died and he was placed right there in the ground. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is some of the provisions he made for us. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God has made provision. He's made provision for the church to become perfect, to become strong in the face of storm. He's made provision. He's given us a way that He wanted His building to be run. And He uses the ministry for that, for part of that endeavor. I would like to hold your place there. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 20. We read in Acts chapter 20 about this provision and about the responsibility that was given by God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, Paul, we find, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. This is who he called. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews." I find the first chords here of this apostle of the Lord as he went to those that God had put in the church there in Ephesus, those elders. I find a man, when I read verse 19, that had a great deal of concern for the people there. Cried for them, prayed for them, hoped for them. "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me." He wasn't moved off this foundation. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." One he knew well, this gospel of grace. "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, that I have not shunned to declare God unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Yes, one of those provisions to be an overseer. God put overseers in the midst of His people, in the midst of everybody. Watchmen, someone that could feed the flock. It's not an easy task, I want you to know. It's easy from some standpoints when people look and they see. And I remember before I was ever put here in this position, that it was easy to look at somebody else that was trying to oversee this flock. It was easy to be critical. It was easy to see that maybe they made a mistake. Well, I learned the hardest way by experience that even overseers aren't perfect, but God has placed us here for a reason. with a responsibility. Here Paul continues, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Yes, he foretold this church what was going to happen. The path wasn't going to be easy for these men. They had to care for the sheep. Even when persecution came from without, some from within, they had to care for God's sheep. Because the Holy Ghost, because Christ had placed them in that capacity. Verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Yes, he commended them. I find as I pondered what I should speak upon tonight, that here, the last 4 years, I have had the blessing, the task, the responsibility given me first by God, but then by you, to be your overseer, or one of them. Try to walk around and make sure the building is solid. That it's ready to endure the storms. It's a huge responsibility. Too big for any one man or even a group, I find. I am fully aware that in January I will no longer have that main responsibility. It shall be given to another. But I want you to know that God has ordained it so that you need to give them your support, your help, your prayers. It is a giant task. God has placed it upon us to be watchmen, to see what's going on, to see whether this thing that He's created can withstand, to prepare our people, just as Paul, as he warned them for 3 years, night and day, with all of his love and affection wrapped up, you could tell in the terminology. When you read through the book of Ephesians, you know that Paul loved this group of people with a great dear love. He gave many hours, many days to its strengthening, to the work of the gospel there. It's a tremendous task. As God continues to work in this building that He's created here in Phoenix, Arizona, the time is going to continue to roll on. Different people will be in that position. Will be given that responsibility by God and then by you, by your vote. All of them, none of them perfect. Making decisions for what they can see in their perception and in their study of the Word of God would be best to hold the building together, to make it strong. Sometimes it causes pain, anguish. 1 Peter tells us a similar thing. Chapter 5. In verse 1, this is familiar to us. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, What is this ready mind He wants us to have? Whoever cares for this position, whoever is given this responsibility by God, to have a ready mind is to be near in mind, to be close to its people, to be at hand, to be nigh, to be near. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Yes, I talk to all of us who have that responsibility in the priesthood. Some may not have it now, but you will someday, if you continue and you endeavor to serve the Lord. Someday your time up a bat will come, and you have a responsibility not to be a lord, to be a good example, to be builded and founded in that love, which is the base of Christ, that made Him give Himself, to be near God's people, watching out for them, walking around in the middle of the storm, making sure all the windows are closed and the roof isn't leaking. Making sure that we have a structure that will stand and endure the storms. We find in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 17. I'm going to read that last verse. It says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, who is the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." You know, we know that Satan, when Christ established His church, that he went after that church, that he made war. And when Christ brought back His church, He's doing the same thing today. Well, we have a promise that the church would never again be overcome with sin. There will be a remnant somewhere that's not overcome with sin, because God's kingdom will never again be taken from the earth, ever. It will never more be overcome by transgression and sin. But Satan continues to war. How does he do this? He uses persecution, lies, hate, temptation, deception. He tries to penetrate the outer barrier of God's building. And then when he gets in, he can mess up the works. When some external force is allowed into this building, it causes failures from the inside. Isn't it true? When the roof starts to leak during the rains and the storms, what else is affected? Well, we used to have a big spot right over there. I don't know if we still do. The sheetrock that held up the ceiling was affected. And all the insulation up there was soaking wet and pressed down so that it wasn't nearly as effective. That's what happens when sin gets into a body unchecked. It affects all of us. Begins to destroy more. It destroys oftentimes more than the initial ones that were affected. It affects us all. And sometimes others, innocent, are affected and destroyed. And it affects our relationships. And our relationship with Christ, our foundation. Buildings don't stay the same, do they? Oh, okay. Let's do that. Now I've done it. Okay, I'll let the owner orchestrate this one for us. I need the next slide. Thank you. Can you bring that up a little bit? Buildings don't stay the same, do they? We saw that first one, El Castillo, you know. It looks so good and so strong, as though nothing would ever penetrate that rock. And yet, you find that when it's not maintained, it just goes to pieces. Isn't this so like a body, a building of God's people, a local congregation? We don't stay the same. We never have. When the storms come down on us, some of us get weak and we fall away. And if there was no maintenance, we would fall apart. I remember when I was a kid, John and I, up at the ranch, we tried to help around the place. Many, many times, my grandfather would come and say, saddle up the horses. Get out the wire and the pliers and take off to mend the fence. The horses got out. Well, we'd go up there and maybe a bolt of lightning would hit a pine tree and smash down our fence. So we'd have to cut the pine tree off the fence. We'd have to get some new stays and we'd put them in there. Try to make it work again. We'd have to tighten up that fence somehow. When it wasn't maintained, other people's cattle were on our property. Our horses were on somebody else's or on the Forest Service land. So it is with us. And you know, it's not just the minister's responsibility. It's not a pastor's responsibility to maintain the body. He can't do it alone. Maintenance is difficult. Take a piece of wood that has been wet by the rain. The rain got down through the roof and the wood. If it's not dried out, it can rot. It stays wet. Or it can get another piece of wood wet, and then what happens to that wood? It gets warped. And then to try to get it back where it needs to be straight is very difficult. It's very difficult. Yet this is what we're up against when we maintain. When we have to go out and paint. Or we do anything to our homes. Most of us have probably been doing this very month. We got a list of things. We got to get done, cared for in our homes before reunion. Well, you know, it's the same in our spiritual life. And I have a list as a pastor of things that we need to do. Now, the Scriptures have a list of things that we need to do, not only to be ready for this reunion, but wherever life takes me, if I come back in 20 years, unless we've maintained some of these things, we will be like this building. I have another building to show you. See that well enough? Is it salvageable? It's firewood. As I traveled through the Northwest on this last trip, I went by barn after barn. The roof's starting to sink in. You see all the boards down here, a bunch of them are missing. They're absolutely gone. The wind just whistles through. If I had my cattle in there, I'd be wondering at what day they were all going to be killed. Because I know in the first snow, probably it's going to come down. Or it may withstand a few, but eventually it's going to come down. And eventually it comes to a place that it's not even worth messing with. That's what I find that we get ourselves in problems. We get so far that it seems like it's not worth it to fix it right. So we make a temporary fix. And that temporary fix just doesn't always quite do it. I want to talk about maintaining this body that Christ, this building that Christ has put together. We in this local, in the last 10 years, we've had storms.
They've ravaged us. They've hurt us.
They've made us weep. Some whole pieces of the building have been taken away or left.
People we've loved have changed.
Decisions that were made by some who tried to oversee the mess, how to clean it up. They weren't always accepted in that light. More feelings were hurt. We've begun to distrust one another and our intentions. Yes, we've had storms. And sometimes this building to the pasture doesn't look ready to endure what God tells us is still coming. It doesn't look like it's really prepared to be a building that's ready for the reunion with its Lord. We find even that church in Ephesus, not unlike us. In 96 AD, although at one time that church was very strong, staunch in the gospel. 96 AD, on the Isle of Patmos, John was told in 2 Revelation to write. He said, the first church that the Lord addressed was the same church we're reading about. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Yes, that church changed. We are not above this, brothers and sisters. In fact, I would believe he's talking straight to us. Oftentimes, our problem is we have left our first love. There are things that I think God sees we try to do. And I believe he's pleased with those efforts. And yet, there's still something that has weakened this structure. "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." We are not above this. We are not above changing and falling. There was 13 locals in Michigan at one time. You know how many are there now? 4, maybe 5. We're not above this. And we have maintenance to care for. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Back in Ephesians chapter 2, I'd like to talk about some of this maintenance that the Lord requires. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Yes, the servants of God must speak the truth in love. Sometimes that hurts. Sometimes that hurts. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together." Here's that body again, that Christ has fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This word love is the base of everything that's here. It's the thing we probably lack the most. I've said, I've listened, I've heard, I've had people tell me as the pastor in these last few years, "I don't think some of the people over there love me." I've heard that statement. And I assure them, "Oh yes, we do." That's not good enough. Talk's cheap. If we don't find a way to get involved in pure love, we cannot grow. Brian preached a sermon not long ago about growth. We have got to grow. We've got to be founded stronger. We've got to edify ourselves in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Yes, we came from a world that did a lot of things, that treated other people badly, that didn't care, had no feelings for anybody else. Just take care of myself. Whatever happens to you, oh well. We come from a world like that, and we cannot afford to be. We haven't learned this in Jesus Christ. That's not the teaching we've ever learned from Him. If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have a need to be renewed as to what these responsibilities are from day to day. And that's what every person that stands up here, every minister that Christ has called, that's our endeavor, to renew your mind, to maintain. And you know what? You got to go fix it again. And you're going to fix it again and again and again. And we're going to keep fixing it. We're always going to have weak among us. Always. We will. They're always going to be here. And they always still have a place. We are going to be weak. And we are going to need to be mended. And we are going to have to be pliable to accomplish it. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What good have you done to not speak the truth? You know, I've heard this statement many times. Well, I don't want to offend. I know people in here right now whose feelings are hurt because of a decision or because of a statement or because of something you've heard somebody else in this body make. And you won't do anything about it. And you allow the building to become weak. Because you can't go tell them the truth in love. You've hurt my feelings. That's God's commandment to you. That you maintain your relationship with one another. Our relationships have changed. I know people that don't feel as welcome in this body as they used to. We need to speak the truth. On that foundation of love. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know they go together. And some of us have accepted and justified ourselves in letting the sun go down. We're still upset about something that happened who knows how long ago. We're still there. And we're still weak. And the building is trembling because we haven't abided by the first commandment, take care of the problem. Deal with it. Clean your heart out. Take the anger away. Renew that relationship. You know, if I never did that with my own family, with my wife, with my kids, I wouldn't have a family. If we don't do it in this body, we will have no fellowship. We will have no building. We will have no shelter when the storms of life hit us that our adversary is going to bring and has continued to bring. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Yes, we need to continue to change our ways. to work hard, to labor for one another, to those that need us, requires a lot of effort, a lot of time. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, this is one of our other struggles. James tells us that the tongue is a little member, but it boasteth great things. And what a huge world of fire that tongue can kindle. We are not always wise at what we say. We don't say things to help the problem. We say things to complain about the problem. I want you to remember that Satan's tools have always been accusation. He has always done it. He accused Job. He accused every other man that's walked the face of this earth. The first thing he did to God, he was always complaining. And he always condemned. If all you ever see is what's wrong, you better repent. And you better open your eyes and you better see that there's something else. You better seek a way to help, not just to complain about it. Find a solution. Help somebody else find a solution to the trouble of their life, the temptation, the sin. That's what love requires of us. The things that we say, let them minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We can't grieve that Spirit. We must listen to it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I think right there is one of the hugest things about maintenance that we could do and that we don't do very well. We get embittered by something. There's a statement that's found in the book of Hebrews in chapter 15. He said, don't let the root of bitterness spring up into you. Don't let it begin to grow, because bitterness never produces good fruit. There's nothing good to eat from it. There's nothing that helps anybody get anything done. And yet, because of some of the storms that have come our way and its effect upon the building, some of us have become bitter. We need to repent. Because it will destroy this building. Or it will make you warped, where you can no longer be used by God. And He will have to remove you from that building. Wrath, anger, clamor, put them away. Get rid of them. Don't hold malice for somebody else. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We have a hard time with this concept. Do we help the sinner? We all are sinners, and we better accept the help when it comes our way. God chastises us, and it's never pleasing, is it? Never. But He says to those of us that are exercised by it, it's the salvation of our soul. We have a need. The ministry have a need. Sometimes it's not, well, it's never fun for us. It's never fun, whoever your pastor is, when there's trouble. When sin enters the door of this building, it's never fun. Requires a great deal of time. A lot of times, heartache, tears. Picking yourself up, asking the Lord, what can I do? How can I help? Trying your best to get it done. Sometimes it's misinterpreted by others. Sometimes we don't help when we should. And I guess this is really part of what I wanted to talk about tonight. If you don't maintain, we're going to go to ruins. There's a song called, Are You Living in an Old Man's Rubble? We don't want to live in rubble. And we don't want this church to fall, this congregation to fall into such. Would you show the next slide, Dad? Don, where is this?
Cholula.
What is it?
It's the largest pyramid in the world.
Is that it up on the hilltop?
No, that's the hill.
It's the hill. You know, our building can be hid. The largest pyramid in the world was never even known to be there because it was hidden. Show the next slide, Dad. Until it was discovered. They even built a Catholic church on top of it. If people come in this congregation and they see this building, I don't care how large it is, if the gospel that we have is not lived out, then it's hid. It's hid. And you can have the most wonderful building in the world, and if somebody cannot see it, it's of no use. It's worthless. The jungle took over, or the desert took over that building. It wasn't until later that they found that a Catholic church, a large Catholic church, was built on the largest pyramid in the world. Ephesians chapter 3. It tells us, and maybe this is my hope, my desire. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Yes, that's my prayer for you, that you be strengthened in the inner man, that you put away the things that cause destruction in the body. That you be tender, kind, filled with love for one another. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. As I consider the Phoenix Local Church of Christ, and I consider my tenure here as your pastor is coming quickly to a close, never knowing exactly where God is going to take me, what he has completely for me to do. But knowing that I won't have that sole responsibility anymore, I desire that you would consider this building upon which you are built. That you take the time, it takes time, to maintain it. Begins with you. We can be like that old barn, you know, for years and years. Well, we have a barn at the ranch that's the same way. You know, and it was built with nice, fresh wood. All those joints were tight. Kept out the wind. And then as the wind hit it, dried up. And the wood dried out, and pretty soon that wood shrunk. And now there's a larger joint there. The wind whistles through. Can't keep it warm in the wintertime. Probably not a very habitable place in the wintertime there. And a lot of times there's a lot of other pestilence that gets in because of its condition. When we don't take care of the things that God's given us, take care of the responsibilities, take care of the relationships that we have in this fellowship, the wind blows through. And you know who's affected? All of us. Cold.
My little girl's cold. We need to repent. And get ready for the storm. Like the one that hit Honduras. For it surely will come. If you haven't learned to maintain your heart, you'll be ripped up from the foundation and you'll fly away in the wind. And it'll affect us all. Dad, could you show the next slide? Is that Ushmal? What slide is that?
This is the one with the... We've got too much light on.
Do I need to turn the light off? Is that what you're telling me? Ah! I missed that one. That's a good slide. This is one of those other examples. Here's these wonderful pyramids, and this El Tayin is the name of this place. And you see all these places back here? Those are buildings too. They aren't of any use. They're hidden. They're covered. We need to make sure that the building we have that God has given us is of good use. That it shelters us, that it lets us receive the gift of that Holy Spirit which God has promised to be over us, to be a shelter over us. Next slide, Dad, please. Is that Ushmal?
Mm-hmm.
In closing, I hope that you and I, because of our endeavor, because of our faithfulness, I hope that we can become a building as beautiful as this. One that's strengthened and embedded on the rock. One that's ready for the Lord's return. One that's going to be here for my kids, for my family, for yours, for you, for me when I'm here. Maintain it. Because it can be lost. Get back to that first love and put the true love of Christ back in our hearts, maintaining that which we know to be right and true. Thank you for your time.
Began to rattle, and a voice began to call.